My guest at this time is Umberto Fontova. He is an accomplished author. He is the author of Fidel, Hollywood's Favorite Tyrant, and Exposing the Real Che Guevara and the Useful Idiots Who Idolize Him. He is a Cuban exile, and we want to get his reaction to many political figures and media analysts lauding Fidel Castro upon his death. Mr. Fontova is among those taking to media to correct the popular narrative and explain the real Castro legacy. Here's an example of him responding to comments made on MSNBC's Morning Joe.
Folks, Castro regime jailed and tortured political prisoners at a higher rate than Stalin's regime during the Great Terror. They murdered, mostly by firing squad, more political prisoners in their first 3 years in power than Hitler's regime murdered in his first six. They drove 20 times as many people to die trying to escape from Cuba as died trying to escape East Germany. And we're hearing about complicated emotions.
So, Mr. Fontova, first of all, thank you very much for being with us today.
Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, Cuban Americans have been hearing and putting up with this kind of nonsense, complete nonsense, for almost half a century now. So we should be acclimated to it.
Well, let's just start at the very beginning. What was your reaction as a Cuban exile and someone whose father was imprisoned for a time shortly after Castro took power when you found out that he had finally died?
It wasn't a big deal. It's anticlimactic. If it had happened 10 or 15 years ago, it would have been different. But the fact is, my dad, 90 years old, he was a classmate of Fidel Castro, by the way, at the University of Havana, and he was later a political prisoner. But me and him were deer hunting when the news came down. You know, but it's we say nothing's going to change in Cuba. I would love to be optimistic, you know, on a show of this nature and say, gosh, but no, the fact is Raul has been running the show officially for about 10 years and unofficially for about 15 to 20 years. The Cuban military has been running Cuba for almost 20 years. They have got a very sweet thing going, a great gravy train, because they own the tourist infrastructure, lock, stock, and barrel, and they've got billions flowing into their coffers. They're not going to give up this gravy train, I'm sorry to report, folks.
Raul Castro is pretty old, too, but from what you just said, it sounds like there's probably a plan in place when his time comes as well.
Alejandro, his son. Raul's son is a fanatical KGB-trained Stalinist, and he's already been tapped, you know, to inherit the throne after his dad, Raul. Nothing is going to change. But again, it's economic. You know, it's nice to say, well, one guy can keep these things going, one dictator, but it isn't. There's a clique of a few hundred people in Cuba, mostly military guys, mostly in their 70s and 80s, who run the place. And they have got such a sweet thing going, primarily thanks to Obama, opening up the floodgates from 4 to 5 billion are flowing from the U.S. to Cuba annually and have been about for the last 7 or 8 years. That's more money that used to flow from Cuba from the Soviet Union. And yet, you hear about an embargo of Cuba. That's one heck of an embargo, isn't it?
Sir Umberto, let's take a look at Obama's statement now, at least the first paragraph. Much of the statement actually pats himself on the back for opening up relations with Cuba. But he begins the statement by saying, "At this time of Fidel Castro's passing, we extend a hand of friendship to the Cuban people. We know that this moment fills Cubans in Cuba and in the United States with powerful emotions, recalling the countless ways in which Fidel Castro altered the course of individual lives, families, and of the Cuban nation. History will record and judge the enormous impact of this singular figure on the people and world around him." President-elect Donald Trump had a very different statement, saying, quote, "Today the world marks the passing of a brutal dictator who oppressed his own people for nearly six decades. Fidel Castro's legacy is one of firing squads, theft, unimaginable suffering, poverty, and the denial of fundamental human rights. While Cuba remains a totalitarian island, it is my hope that today marks a move away from the horrors endured for too long and toward a future in which the wonderful Cuban people finally live in the freedom they so richly deserve." What does it tell you about the mindsets and the political approaches, not only of these two, but of many others who have issued similar statements, where we have a sitting president of the United States who is very tame in his statement and Trump who's very not tame?
Well, exactly. As I've been telling people the last couple of days, if anything changes in Cuba, It won't be because of Fidel's death. It will be because of the results of the U.S. presidential elections. Mr. Trump has pledged to reverse. You see, all this cash that's flowing from the U.S. to Cuba that I just mentioned, you know, that gravy train, that thing, is a result of executive orders by Obama. The embargo is codified into U.S. law, and it would take Congress to lift it, but the votes aren't there. That's why Obama went to loophole it half to death with executive orders. Mr. Trump has pledged to reverse those executive orders. In fact, I think he copped one of my articles because I said, with a stroke of a pen, the next president could start starving the Castro regime. And don't you know that when Mr. Trump made his campaign stops during the last weeks of the campaign in South Florida, he used those very words right down to strokes of a pen. So I sent him an invoice for unacknowledged campaign consulting fees. But the point is, it looks like he's going to live to it because some of the appointments that he has made to the transition team are people that are very vigilant of the embargo and know exactly how to reverse those orders. When I saw those appointments, I said, wow, he's going to live up to his campaign pledges.
We're talking with Umberto Fontova, and sir, I want to get your thoughts on the actual legacy now. Let's start, first of all, with what you have talked about in that clip from MSNBC about the death squads and the rate of political imprisonments. What do we know for sure there?
Okay, well, that is all fully, thoroughly, and meticulously documented in my books. You know, it's going to probably strike a lot of people as, oh, this one is crazy. No, that is all fully documented. The Cuban Archives Project documents about 100,000 deaths as a result of the Castro regime. Now, Cuba's population was about 7 million in 1968-70. So we're talking about an awful lot of people done to death by the Castro regime. Now, what is the omelet that resulted from all of these broken eggs? Well, Castro took a country that in 1958 had a higher standard of living than much of Europe, as I explained this morning to Morning Joe. Prior to Castro, Cuba took in more immigrants as a percentage of population than did the United States, including the Ellis Island years. Most of these immigrants came from the First World. More Americans lived in Cuba prior to Castro, the Cubans lived in the U.S., and that was at a time when Cubans were perfectly free to leave. So he took that prosperous, industrialized, not completely industrialized, but prosperous and happy country that attracted immigrants from around the world and turned it into a place where 20 times as many people had died trying to escape it as died trying to escape East Germany. I mean, I don't know what else you can say.
Who did he target? Who did he imprison? Who did he put to death?
Well, like all communists, you know, it wasn't necessarily a class thing. It was just people who were with him. You're with me or you're against me. And if you're against me, that's it. You're going to have to get out of here, or you're going to have to suffer prison and torture, or he's going to get shot. It's very simple. It's a commie thing, and it's amazing because that is, I think, what leads to a lot of the ignorance in the U.S. and around the world about the Castro regime. Look, you don't get a journalist visa. You don't get a Havana Bureau, NBC, MSNBC itself, ABC, CNN, unless you are going to play their game. In other words, spread their propaganda. And this propaganda has been spread for the last 50 years expertly. That's why most people say, well, gosh, at least Cubans have great health care. Cubans have abominable health care.
Talk about that a little bit more, because that's what we're hearing in all of these laudatory statements and analysis from the media, is that he did so much for health care and education in the country. What's the record that you've uncovered?
In 1958, Cuba had the 13th lowest infant mortality rate on the face of the earth, lower than much of Europe. Now it's about 50th, and plus, the bottom line is, we're getting all those figures, you know, about Cuba's health care. They come from communist apparatchiks. They come from employees of the Castro regime. If they do not lie, they're out of there, too. The same thing is doing. And it doesn't occur to people that those statistics are coming from people who have a little, almost a gun held to their head to lie. Most of the doctors that flee to the U.S., that had the misfortune of growing up in Cuba and going to Cuban medical schools, when they get to the U.S., they cannot even pass the U.S. exam for doctor's assistants, much less MDs. It is a gigantic scam, which is fully exposed in my books.
We're talking with Humberto Fontova, and sir, what about rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the basic First Amendment rights that we cherish so much in this country?
No, none of that exists. It's a communist. It is a totalitarian country. You know, when people say, well, gosh, Humberto, you know, we do business with China, you know, in Saudi Arabia, what's it? Well, the fact is those countries may be authoritarian, but they are not totalitarian. Cuba is still totalitarian in the Stalinist mode.
Let's talk about the misperception that we've seen in so much of the analysis, not only since Castro died, but throughout the course of the Castro regime in many cases. You wrote an entire book on how Fidel Castro was Hollywood's favorite dictator. You also wrote a book about Che Guevara, who's been romanticized on so many T-shirts over the generations. What is it about this revolution and these figures that have people loving them so much?
It's a legacy. They were the first hippies. They were the first beatniks, technically. You got to remember, when these guys were in the mountains, they had long hair. If you look at pictures of them, Che Guevara kind of looks like a Jim Morrison of the Doors with a wispy beard. Raul Castro at the time had shoulder-length, blondish hair. He kind of looked like Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. And Fidel Castro himself looked kind of like Jerry Garcia. Wow, man, they were the beatniks. And in the U.S., they were supposedly, you know, sticking their finger in the eye of the, you know, the bald golfing Ike with Ozzy and Harriet on TV and Leave It to Beaver, you know, 50. And he's these cool, bearded, long-haired guys doing this. And that whole romance about being the first rebels, about being the first hippies and beatniks still survives, when in fact they were nothing of the sort. They were Stalinists from the get-go. Raul Castro had a KGB handler since 1954.
So how do you combat this? Obviously, you're doing your part. Others are doing that as well. But there's a huge conventional wisdom out there that's not going away.
Well, you can't do it. All you can hope for is getting invites like by good people like Rick Rombos for the show and so forth. But it's a tough road to hoe. And, you know, I mean, I do it almost literally daily, fighting the ignorance. It is mainly ignorance. There is some bad faith out there, but in general, it's ignorance. A lot of people of good faith are just misinformed about Cuba. So I really, really appreciate the chance to try to set the record straight on this show.
Sir, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for your time very much today.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Anytime.
Absolutely. Cuban exile and author Humberto Fontova. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.